Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. The first story today is by Christy Jankowski, and it's titled, Roads Washed Away in Deluge. Danville. Areas along the Illinois-Indiana border experienced major flooding issues after a torrential downpour Saturday night into Sunday morning. The deluge led to 11 people being rescued, multiple roads being damaged or blocked, and even water falling through the ceiling of some stores. The Vermilion Emergency Management Agency sent a total of 9 alerts to people in the area since around 9 p.m. on Saturday, with the first alert being for incoming rain. Minor to minimal to no known threat to life or property is what the VEMA stated in their first alert, but the messaging changed rapidly within the next hour. By 10:20 p.m., the agency sent out flash flood warning messages stating there was severe to significant threat to life or property and recommending people take action. At that time, Doppler radar indicated a thunderstorm coming, carrying 3 to 5 inches of heavy rain with the possibility of 2 additional inches in some areas. Trent Ford, Illinois state climatologist, says the weather event is rare and likened it to a 200-year storm with around 6 inches of rain falling within 3 hours. Ford says the heavy rains impacted a broad area of Vermilion County and well into Indiana and nearly to Crawfordsville. The Danville Airport had a total of just over 6 inches for the storm. That total is equivalent to a 1% annual exceedance probability, often called a 100-year storm, meaning it has a 1% chance of happening any year. So, extremely rare, Ford said. Even more impressive, the maximum 3-hour precipitation total at the airport was 5.57 inches, which is equivalent to a 0.5% annual exceedance probability or a 200-year storm. Deputies with the Vermilion County Sheriff's Office ended up going out to rescue a total of 11 people during the flooding, starting at 10 p.m. on Saturday and continuing until 6:30 a.m. on Sunday. The most serious incident was on Poland Road, east of Bowman Avenue, where a vehicle became stuck in floodwaters, said Captain Mike Hartshorn. The rapidly moving water quickly rose to the roof of the vehicle, where the occupants had moved for safety. A sheriff's department diver entered the swift-moving water and secured a rope to the subjects, staying with them in the water until the sheriff's department airboat could arrive from another rescue call. 7 deputies were involved in the water rescue operation. We used our airboat as it can operate in areas that a traditional boat cannot. This is more severe flooding than we have seen in a long time. Hartshorn says no one was severely injured, but reminds drivers to never drive on flooded roadways. It is very hard to judge the depth of the water, and even a shallow area of rapidly moving water can quickly carry away a vehicle or person, Hartshorn says. If you do become stranded in floodwaters, call 911 immediately to get help started and continually provide updates to dispatchers so emergency personnel can find you. Stay with your vehicle as long as possible. Even the most experienced swimmer cannot overcome the power of floodwaters and will be quickly swept away. For others, the torrential rains interrupted a shopping trip. Melissa Decker, a mail carrier in Georgetown, says she was at Walmart around 8:30 p.m., and she says they saw rain coming down inside the store closer to 9 p.m. I was on the other side looking at plants where it started pouring through the ceiling, and I had to run through it, Decker says. It was a surprise for sure. I couldn't believe how much water was pouring in. There are other reports on social media of multiple places in Vermilion County hit by the floodwaters. However, Public Works Director David Rue says all roads in Danville are open as of Monday afternoon. That's really the first time that's happened since I've worked at the city, where we have flooding, but we didn't see a whole lot of rain. Rue says the heavy rains in surrounding communities sent the water to Danville streets. It was more so in the area of Stony Creek, and just over the creek was overwhelmed because of how much rain came in north of town, and so we basically had people monitoring all of the bridges. According to the city, the following roads were impacted by floodwaters: Bowman and Poland intersection, Liberty Lane at Stony Creek, Seminary and Junction intersection, Collett and Cleveland intersection, South Street at Stony Creek, and a residential area northeast of Danville High School. The issues were not contained just to Vermilion County either. There are roadways washed away in Indiana. Jennifer Price of Hillsboro, Indiana, sent an image that appears to show a road she says is called Ghost Hollow Road in the area. Price was driving in the area after the storms to check on family on Sunday. "All our family made it out okay," Price said. "It was definitely interesting seeing the damage water can cause, but we were also extremely cautious in our travels." Fountain County Emergency Management Director Tina Holmes says that in Indiana there are multiple roads washed away. Multiple roads are washed away or damaged in Hillsboro and Petersburg from the heavy rains, Holmes said. "I think our main concern is our roads. Right now, I think there are up to 4 that have collapsed." Holmes said that areas were hit located on county roads off of 400 East, 550 West, and 350 South. She did add that they are still doing a damage assessment, so she is unsure of the extent of the damage. And not only were roads damaged, but Holmes said one house had to be evacuated due to floodwaters, and she witnessed damage to a hog farm in Petersburg while driving around and assessing what she could on Sunday. She said there were pens everywhere, and it tore the roof off of the barn from the farm when she drove by, and the owners were cleaning up the damage. Holmes says she believes that damage was caused by straight-line winds. Like many other officials, Holmes says people need to pay attention to the barricades in the area. "It looks like, from a distance, that's not too bad," Holmes said. "Some of the areas washed out. But then we got out and we walked down and I was like, oh my goodness, I mean, it was as big as our truck. We could have driven right down in it." She says both Newton and Warren County have advisories and watches as far as travel, and more rain is on the way. Our next story today is titled "Good Times: Weather Doesn't Dampen Balloon Weekend at Kennekuk." And this is also by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Lightning and heavy rains put a damper on the hot air balloons this weekend. Dean Carlton, co-chair of the Balloons Over Vermilion event, said the storms did ground part of the event, but there were some spectacular delights, which were only possible with hundreds of volunteers. Flights were limited to a single splash and dash on Thursday, and all activities were canceled around 8:30 p.m. Saturday. Carlton says the event brought more successes than failures, pointing to packed kids' areas, a well-received 5K run, and a first-ever night kite show that entertained the crowd for hours. He says the basket candlestick and lighted kites, plus the 300 drone display on Friday night, made it a night to remember. And he says the move to Kennekuk County Park was an excellent choice, calling the park a wonderful, wonderful place to have a family-featured event. And while the skies were mostly hostile to balloons during the actual event, they were able to take the skies during the splash and dash on Thursday. "Nobody's more disappointed than the balloon pilots," said Carlton, noting that they traveled from Arizona, New York, Michigan, Missouri, and Kentucky to fly. "The only balloon in the air, balloon flight of the weekend." Carlton added, "But we were able to get all 31 balloon pilots to get their baskets out all in a row and do what we call a candlestick event, where we basically shoot fire into the air in sequence." He added the 400-foot-high three-dimensional art piece that brought a tear to his eye. "I used to go to the original balloon classic as a kid in the 90s, Jared Lowe said. "I really enjoyed it, and having it at our local park made it more special. I had a photography exhibit set up there Saturday and met some great people and had positive conversations. The weather was the only negative thing." Lowe says the heavy rains that came down towards the end of the evening did impact his exhibit. "It was in waterproof sleeves, so it was a headache to clean up, but it got done," Lowe said about his work. "Canopy was a loss." Jake's aerial photography also captured images of the splash and dash as well as the candlestick lighting and more. "My glimpse into the behind-the-scenes of the balloons over Vermilion showed me a professional execution of a well-thought-out plan," he said. "Ultimately, Mother Nature had other plans this year, but with someone like Dean Carlton leading the team, Balloons Over Vermilion is bound to be an even bigger success in the future. And the weather did cause the event to have to shut shop earlier than planned." Carlton says they had officials with the National Weather Service on site to keep everyone safe. "At a certain point, we had the National Weather Service on site with us, guiding us through the process, and at one point the lighting was getting a little close, so we did ask people to shelter in their cars," Carlton said. "People were sheltering in the tents and the buildings. A fair number of people had to leave at that point, but you know, there wasn't going to be any show with it." Carlton said there was so much to do with the event, including a line of food trucks. "Because we had more room, we were able to bring more vendors," Carlton said, "and they did very, very well." He says festival goers were constantly lined up for food, from barbecue pizza to giant pretzels from Ben's Pretzels, hot dogs from the Wiener Wagon, and more. Ben's Pretzels was a particular favorite, while the Wiener Wagon drew a line 50 feet long, Carlton said. Carlton says Balloons Over Vermilion will return next year at the same place. "The park is an absolutely gorgeous place," he says. "It's just so green and fresh, and you've got the trees all around. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place to spend a weekend with your family. We had plenty of room, we had easier access, and we could bring the kites and the drones that we could not have at the airport." And our final story from the front page today is titled, "Emus Are Loose Again in Danville." This is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Emus are on the run following a flash flood in the Danville area. The birds were spotted throughout the city and in many areas throughout Vermilion County after a torrential downpour caused a break in their enclosure. This is not the first time the emus have been on the run in Vermilion County. Back in 2021, there were several emus on the run. Following that incident, one emu remained loose for several months throughout East Central Illinois. Josh Ellis, a Vermilion County Animal Control Officer, says he and another deputy helped capture one of the six or seven emus on the run. "After I met the homeowner, he let me get it into a yard or somewhere enclosed so we could all work together to try and get it into a trailer," Ellis said. He says if you spot one of the elusive birds, call 911. Avoid them, and do not make any overly sudden moves or approach them, Alice says. Ask the owners if they can just close the door and keep the emu in there and call 911 so we can let the owners know where they are and if they're contained or not. Several community members spotted the birds wandering throughout Danville on Sunday. Angie Bridgewater spotted one of the birds near her home. She says she became aware because of her poodles. It was on the North Shore Terrace, a road behind the old Scooter's Coffee, Bridgewater said. My dogs noticed it first when they were sitting at my back sliding door. The emu was casually walking down the road. She added, my doodles are obsessed with any movement in the backyard, so they are on constant watch. I went into my backyard and caught a few snaps and walked up the street, and the neighbor and I watched it in a wooded area. She says the emu seemed unfazed, and they are pretty majestic. Never thought I would see one near my house. Sonia Schroeder grabbed a quick picture of one of the birds on the run near her basketball hoop in the Lake Shores subdivision. We definitely kept our distance, she said. And while the birds may seem unfazed and unbothered, their talons are quite strong, and their kicks are said to be like those of a horse. Brooke Tricelli also spotted an emu near the Townway and Midway area around 3 p.m. I stayed in the house, Tricelli says. I've heard they can be aggressive. Ellis added the birds do seem used to people. The birds are pretty calm. They definitely seem very domesticated and fine with being around people, Ellis said. I just still wouldn't try to approach them or try to, like, touch them at all. And if they are near roadways, just making sure that they kind of get avoided. If you spot one, either call 911 to report the sighting or post a photo on Facebook in the Danville Scanner Unrated page. The owners are monitoring that page to try to get all of the birds home safely. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday. And today we only have two. The first is for Patricia or Pat J. Cundiff. Patricia Pat Joanne Cundiff, 85, of Danville, passed away at 2:20 p.m. on Friday, June 5th, 2026, at Accolade of Danville. A service to celebrate the life of Pat Cundiff will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, June 10th, 2026, at Hillary Assembly of God, 19454 Henning Road, Danville, Illinois, 61834. Pastor Doug Knapp will officiate. Burial will follow at Oak Hill Cemetery, and a visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, June 9th, at the Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Louise Lang Wright. Louise Lang Wright, 82, of Danville, passed away at 8:30 a.m. on June 6, 2026, with her family by her side. A celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 13th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois. Stephanie Spangler will officiate, and burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. A visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 13th, at the funeral home in Danville. Memorials may be made in Louise's memory to the Parkinson's Foundation. And that's all of the obituaries for today. We're going to return now to some other stories from the commercial news. The next one is titled, Union Protests Chick-fil-A Groundbreaking in Danville. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. When a new project breaks ground, it is usually met with shovels and smiles. However, the groundbreaking ceremony at the site of the former Red Lobster in Danville was not met with all smiles. The soon-to-be site for Chick-fil-A in Danville was met with union protesters who say the construction work in Danville should be done by local workers. Phil Davidson, Communications Director of the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council Union, released a statement following a small protest held during the groundbreaking ceremony. "Development should work for Danville and not just happen in Danville," Davidson said. "When public dollars help make a project possible, taxpayers have every right to expect that local workers, local contractors, and local training programs will be given a fair shot. We think that's just common sense." During the ceremony, there was a blow-up rat pictured with a handful of people protesting. Ward 7 Alderman Tricia Teague posted about the ordeal on her campaign Facebook page. "When the city of Danville gives taxpayer dollars to developers, language should be put into those contracts that give incentives for hiring our local contractors," wrote Teague, who has announced that she plans to run for mayor. "We can't keep telling people to go into the trades because there's a shortage of skilled labor, but then sit on our hands and not help the local contractors or their employees." Teague added that the local construction workers would spend their money locally as well on tools, trucks, and grocery purchases. Developer Jason Gigot talked to the council back in December about the development. "Our goal has always been to redevelop it in a first-class manner, on a long-term lease," Gigot said in December. While this will be Gigot's first development in Danville, he has been given other properties in need of a developer. "We look forward to doing this one first and expanding and committing to the city and spending many dollars down here, and look to continue that," Gigot said. It cost $80,000 to tear down the former Red Lobster. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said during the February 10th council meeting, "The good thing about Chick-fil-A, you know whether you love it or hate it. It's the hardest franchise in America to get right now. The fact that we got it is a good thing for Danville and our developer, and it will actually likely lead to some more development in the community." Williams also posted on his social media a reply to Teague's shares. "Every member of the City Council has the opportunity to review agreements, ask questions, propose changes, and vote accordingly," Williams said. "That's how the process works. As mayor, I do not vote unless there is a tie or an additional confirming vote is required." Williams went on to state the agreement was first presented to council members on December 5th and then was approved unanimously by council on December 16th and was motioned by Teague. "If Alderman Teague believed that the agreement was flawed, she had multiple opportunities to raise those concerns before the vote," Williams said. "She did not ask questions, request additional information, propose amendments, move to postpone the item, or vote against it. Instead, she seconded the motion for approval, and it passed unanimously." Williams says the remarks about the $380,000 to Chick-fil-A are false, but the landowner will receive $300,000 when the restaurant opens. He says the restaurant will create around 35 to 50 full-time positions and overall 70 to 100. And he says the financial return will impact Danville positively. Danville, Williams says the city will get roughly $405,000 in new annual revenue, including approximately $317,000 for the city alone, between sales tax, property tax, and sales. Next is a staff report titled DACC Launches Podcast to Celebrate County History. Danville. Danville Area Community College announces the launch of Vermilion County History with Lara Conklin, a new podcast series created in celebration of the 200th anniversary of Vermilion County. Produced by Danville Area Community College, the podcast offers listeners an engaging and accessible way to explore the rich history, remarkable people, and unique stories that have shaped Vermilion County over the past two centuries. Through conversations with historians, community leaders, and local experts, the series brings history to life in a format that can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere. Sue Richter, co-chair of the Vermilion County 200th Anniversary Committee, said the podcast was started to help residents connect with local history in a more personal and convenient way. VC History host Lara Conklin, a member of the Vermilion County 200th Anniversary Celebration Committee and DACC retiree, added that she was inspired to create this podcast through committee conversations about how to tell the stories that often go untold. Conklin encourages people to listen and explore the fascinating people, forgotten places, and hidden history that have shaped Vermilion County, Illinois. Richter adds, "This is a new and interesting way to get audiences interested in Vermilion County history through knowledgeable presenters who share stories and insights that might otherwise be overlooked. Many people don't have the time to sit down and read books or research historical facts. This podcast allows them to learn about our county's history in a mobile format that they can enjoy whenever their schedule allows." As co-chair of the Bicentennial Committee, Richter is helping plan events commemorating the county's 200th anniversary while coordinating with communities throughout Vermilion County to promote local celebrations. The podcast also serves as a resource for residents interested in participating in bicentennial activities across the county. "I want people to take advantage of all that is happening throughout the year in our towns and villages," Richter said. "We have a remarkable past, present, and future that everyone can share. This bicentennial is an opportunity to celebrate our heritage while also looking ahead and planning for our future." 7 episodes are currently available, and new episodes of Vermilion County History with Lara Conklin will be released throughout the bicentennial year and will highlight historical events, community traditions, local landmarks, and the people who contributed to the county's legacy. The podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. The video format can be found on the DACC YouTube page. For more information about the Vermilion County Bicentennial Celebration and upcoming events, visit the Vermilion County 200th Anniversary social media pages. And finally, from community briefs and local briefs, we have the following. Illinois Extension and OSF Healthcare have joined together for a monthly diabetes support group designed for individuals living with diabetes and their caregivers. These sessions will be held on the second Tuesday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. at the Danville Public Library at 319 North Vermilion Street in Danville. The next session is set for June 9th, and the final session will be on December 8th. Each session will include a short educational component and open discussion where participants may share their experiences, discuss their successes and challenges, and learn from one another. Topics are not preset and will be guided on participant interests and needs. Participants will receive a Smart Meals meal kit from OSF. To learn more or to register, or if you need reasonable accommodation to participate or would like to register over the phone, contact Rachel Mannon at rmannon@illinois.edu or call 217-333-7672. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, June 9th, 2026, Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.